If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 11 to 15 to start with this morning. If you will follow along in your Bible while I read from mine. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for the resurrection. And I pray, Lord, as we take a look at this text of Scripture, that instead of giving an alternate explanation for what happened that Easter Sunday, it will only confirm it. I pray you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to preach this message to the people gathered here today. And may you speak to hearts in a very special way. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you realize that this is the first Easter Sunday that has fallen on April 1st since 1956? First time in my life April Fool's Day is on Easter Sunday. And, April Fool's Day is a day when a lot of people pull little jokes and pranks. Has it happened to you already today? In fact, Mary Ann Lee said, "What's that on your shoulder?" And I looked, and, oh, well, I got fooled. Or maybe you put some fake bugs on a lamp, and when they turn on the lamp, you might scare somebody. That's a common trick or ploy you can pull on someone on April Fool's Day that's rather innocent. But on the first Easter, a group of men got together and decided they were going to try to foster a hoax. Try to fool people into believing that what happened at the tomb of Jesus was not a resurrection, but was actually the disciples coming and stealing the body of Jesus. This morning, we're going to take a look at the story that they tried to perpetrate upon their nation and upon the world. Now, even the enemies of Jesus acknowledged that the tomb was empty. Now, the fact that the tomb was empty means one of two things. Either Jesus arose from the grave, or someone took the body. Now, Mary Magdalene thought that maybe the gardener took the body initially. The Sanhedrin said, no, the disciples came and stole the body. The question is, are those reports credible? Or is the tomb empty because Jesus rose from the dead? Well, this morning we're going to take a look and examine the story that they told, that the disciples stole the body of Jesus, and see if it's even credible or not. Or whether or not we really have to consider the gospel proclamation that the tomb is empty because Jesus is alive. Let me walk you through the story this morning. We'll see, first of all, the report of the soldiers. We read in verse 11 that they reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. Now, what did they report? Well, if you look back in the context, in verses 2 to 4, we see what the disciples experienced on that particular day. and what they must have reported to the chief priests, the Jewish authorities. First of all, there was a great earthquake. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The ground shook sometime early Easter morning at the tomb. And what was the significance of the earthquake? Well, if you go back to Exodus chapter 19, we read that when God manifested His presence on Mount Sinai, the earth shook. And I believe that when the Son of God rose from the dead, the earth shook at the resurrection of Jesus Christ because God was present in that situation. They experienced the great earthquake. Furthermore, the stone was rolled away. Verse 2 says, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. The grave was sealed. There was a big stone over the grave. And an angel descended from heaven and rolled the stone back from the grave. And a great miracle had taken place. The stone was not pushed back by a man, but by an angel, as the record indicates. That's what they saw with their own eyes. The stone and the grave had been sealed by the Romans, but yet a greater authority broke the seal and moved that stone out of the way, not to let Jesus out, but to let the witnesses in. Furthermore, they experience the fact that an angel appeared at the tomb. Notice what it says about the angel. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. Oftentimes, angels would appear in the form of a man and would often appear just like any other man. But on this occasion, this angel appeared as an angelic, heavenly being with a bright radiance like the sun, like lightning shining from him. Man, what an experience these soldiers had to tell when they went to the authorities, as we read in verse 11. Now, as we compare the gospel accounts, what they experienced in verses 2 and 3 must have taken place before the women had arrived early that morning. In fact, when they experienced the earthquake, seeing the angel, the stone rolling away, notice it says in verse 4 that the guards shook with fear of him and became like dead men. Man, these guys fainted out of fear, out of what they just experienced. I don't know how long they were out of it, but probably just for a little while. And they went and told them what had happened. Now, you would think, after what they had just experienced, the earthquake, seeing the angel and the stone rolling away, you would think that they, who had no doubt heard of Jesus of Nazareth, no doubt knew the disciples were still around, you would think they would go find those disciples and tell them the good news and say to them, tell me more about this Jesus that you believe in. But no, they did not do that. Instead, they ran, some of them, not all of them, but some of them ran into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And so, the chief priest, how are they going to respond to this tremendous news of the earthquake and the angel and the stone being rolled away? Well, notice with me the second scene, and that is the response of the ruling council. Now, once again, you would think when they heard this great news, when they heard of this miraculous manifestation of an angel and even the very presence of God, you would have think they would be the first to run to the tomb and to check out this story. But there's no indication they did that. Instead, their immediate response was to think to themselves, we've got to put a stop to this story getting out to the people. You see, They were the ones who had crucified Jesus. If he's risen from the dead, then we have committed the greatest blunder that there has ever been committed. The opinion of the people would turn against us, and they might even stone us. We have got to stop this story from getting out to the people. And so they immediately called together the ruling council of the Jews. And they knew they had a problem on their hands. In fact, look back in chapter 27 and verse 63, where they had gone to the governor. Now, this was before the burial. They went to the governor and said, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." The only problem is, now they knew it wasn't a deception. That he really had risen from the dead. And yet, they still wouldn't believe. In spite of the report of the soldiers, in spite of the evidence, they still would not believe. They had plotted a way to prevent the story of the resurrection, and God, by his sovereignty, turned their plot into another proof for the resurrection, as we shall see in just a moment. And so what did they do to cover up what had happened at the tomb that Easter morning? Well, first of all, they agreed on an alternate explanation. Again, they called the Sanhedrin together, and they agreed to have the soldiers tell a different story. Look at verse 13. "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept." Now, they had already decided that that's what could happen, as we see in chapter 27, and so they stick with the story and say, "Well, this is what happened. The disciples just came and stole the body by night." But you know, there was a big problem with that story and getting them to tell that story. And the problem is this, that according to Roman law, if a soldier on guard duty fell asleep, he could be put to death for sleeping while on guard duty. And so these soldiers would be risking their lives if they told the story they were being asked to tell. And so they knew they had to do something to get them to go along with it. And so we read in verse 12 that they bribed the guards. When they had assembled the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. You know, they had already bribed Judas with 30 pieces of silver to hand over Jesus to them. They knew that every man seems to have his price, and so if we just give them enough money, they will tell this story, even though they know it's not true, even though it may jeopardize their lives. And so it says they gave a large sum of money, because they are not just dealing with one soldier, they were probably dealing with a dozen or more soldiers they would have to pay off. It didn't matter how much money they had to pay. What mattered to them was silencing this story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know, it's just a sample of how common it has been through human history where ruling authorities are corrupt and will resort to bribery and to whatever it takes to accomplish their goals. Well, so they bribed the guards. But you know, what good is a lot of money if they put you to death for falling asleep on the job? And so they also gave assurances of protection. Verse 14, "And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." Now, they had already shown their ability to manipulate Pilate, the governor, when they got him to crucify Jesus, whom he knew was an innocent man. And so they thought to themselves, well, we got Pilate in our hand, in our grip, and don't you worry at all. We'll take care of Pilate if you'll just agree to spread this story. And so their plot seemed to be successful. They went out and told this story, as verse 15 indicates. Here again, how could these leaders who were confronted with eyewitness testimony of the guards who were at the tomb, of the earthquake and the stone rolled away and seeing the angels, how could they who believed in angels, who believed in God, how could they so callously reject the truth and embrace the spreading of a lie? I tell you why. Because they were so hardened in their unbelief that they were now blind to the truth. You need to be careful. You need to be careful when it comes to unbelief, because if you harden your heart in unbelief, you may never, ever be saved. Like these folks were never saved for the most part. And so we see the response of the ruling council of the Jews to what happened that Easter morning. But now let's see the response of the soldiers. It says in verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were instructed. Soldiers were used to padding their meager income by accepting bribes. And so they accepted the bribe and they went ahead and told a lie, something they knew that was not true. They say every man has his price. And I'm not sure that's true of every man, but that's certainly true of most people. And they gave them enough to buy their silence about the truth and to spread a hoax among the people. But what does that show us? The fact that they accepted the bribe and did as they were told. Well, first of all, it shows that the love of money is indeed a root of all evil. That's what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Because of the love of money, they spread a lie and denied the truth. And the same thing is continuing to happen today. People steal for the love of money. People commit extortion for the love of money. People engage in unfair business practices because of the love of money. Some people overwork and neglect other responsibilities because of the love of money. Watch out for the love of money, because it is a root of all kinds of evil. And something else it shows is this, that even a miracle will not produce believers. You know, some people imagine to themselves, you know, if I had only seen the miracles of Jesus, if I had only seen him risen from the dead, I would believe. But I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen the miracles. That's why I'm not yet a believer. But yet here we see evidence of the fact that even a miracle does not produce believers. They saw the miracles. They saw the angel. They saw the manifestation of the very presence of God. And yet most, if not all, did not become believers in Jesus Christ. This story shows that if you persist in unbelief, that unbelief can blind you and make you open to foolish ideas. And so we see the response of the soldiers. We see the unbelieving response of the Jewish leadership. And all of this was a fulfillment of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 31. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. The question is, what will our response be? So let's see the responses, first of all, to this particular story that was spread among the Jewish nation. And we look in the text and see that many Jewish people believed the story. It says in verse 15, that this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The fact that it was commonly reported means that it was commonly believed. And Matthew wrote his gospel 30 years after the resurrection. After 30 years, it was commonly reported and therefore commonly believed that what really happened was the disciples came and stole the body from the tomb. Why was it so commonly believed? I'll tell you one reason. It's because Jesus was not the kind of Messiah they were looking for. They weren't looking for a crucified Christ. They were looking for a general on a white horse, victorious kind of Christ. And when Christ didn't fit into their preconceived ideas, they rejected him and would not believe the truth of the resurrection. The Sadducees did not even believe in a resurrection. And so this story among the Sadducees would have been easily accepted. And then furthermore, have you heard the saying, if you tell a lie often enough, people will believe it? Well, this story was told so often that a lot of people just believed it. What a shame. Let's be honest, for the real reason of unbelief, it's not lack of evidence. It's because people don't want to believe. You see, if you believe the truth about Jesus, that He is the risen Lord, that means we must obey Him. We must yield our lives to Him. We must surrender our lives to Him. And so since people don't want to do that, they're glad to believe any other alternative to the truth that Jesus is risen from the dead. And so many people believe the story, but we should reject the story. And let me tell you why. And I'll do so by just telling a story that could well have happened. Suppose that one of these soldiers, one of these guards was on duty in the city of Jerusalem a week later. And one of the citizens comes up to him and says, hey, would you by any chance happen to be one of those soldiers that was at the tomb of Jesus about a week ago? He said, yeah, I was there. Well, tell me what happened. I heard the tomb is empty. Oh, well, what happened was that while we were asleep, the soldiers came, the disciples came and stole the body of Jesus right out of the tomb. Oh, so that's what happened. Okay, yeah, that explains it. And then maybe a week later, another citizen comes up to that same soldiers and says, hey, were you at the tomb of Jesus after he was crucified? Yeah, I was there. Well, I understand the tomb was empty. Will you tell me what happened? Well, what happened was this, that we fell asleep. And while we were asleep, the disciples came and took the body out of the tomb and carried it off. Oh, I see. But this citizen was not so gullible. This citizen was more inquisitive. And so he says, well, hold on just a second. Wasn't there a big stone over the opening of the tomb? You mean the disciples came and rolled that big heavy stone away and they didn't wake you up? No, we slept right through it. Oh, well, y'all must have really been asleep. And furthermore, isn't it true that any soldier that sleeps while on guard duty is subject to being put to death? You mean to tell me that you couldn't stay awake, two or three of you couldn't stay awake at least for 2 or 3 hours while on duty? You're admitting that all of you slept and all of you were derelict of your duty? Yeah, you know, I hate to admit it, but boy, we just all slept that day. It just slept right through it. Now hold on just a second. You said you're asleep. If you were asleep, how do you know the disciples took the body? Well, we just assumed that's what happened. Folks, that's an incredible story, isn't it? The disciples stole the body of Jesus. Yeah, right. I mean, there's other problems with that. One is the Gospels indicate that when Jesus was arrested, what did the disciples do? They all fled. They were scared to death. That same night, Peter followed from a distance and he was out there in the courtyard and they said, "You're one of his disciples." "No, I'm not. Oh, I'm not." Three times he denied Jesus. The accounts indicate that for the next several days, they were hidden behind locked doors, scared to death of the authorities. And you're going to tell me those same scared disciples went to the tomb, guarded by Roman soldiers, saw the soldiers, and proceeded to carry out this plot to steal the body of Jesus? No, that doesn't hold water. That doesn't hold water. And then furthermore, the Gospels indicate that the grave clothes were still there. Now, if the grave clothes were still there, that doesn't make sense. If they stole the body of Jesus, they would have taken it all. Something's wrong there, too. And I'm not done. You know, the accounts indicate that the disciples did not anticipate or expect a resurrection. In fact, when the women came and reported what happened about the resurrection, the Gospel of Luke indicates that what they said seemed like idle tales. They didn't even believe it. So why is it that people who didn't even believe or anticipate a resurrection would try to concoct a story that he's risen from the dead? No, for all of those reasons, the story, the alternative story for the empty tomb just doesn't hold water. It is not even credible. Therefore, we should embrace the resurrection of Jesus. How do you explain the empty tomb? Jesus rose from the dead. It's that simple. Jesus rose from the dead. Even a Roman proverb says, "Great is the truth and it will prevail." The truth of the resurrection ultimately has prevailed. The women believed it. The apostles eventually believed it, though they were slow to believe. A few weeks later, after the Pentecost, thousands of people in Jerusalem believed that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and they were right there near where it took place. And down through the centuries, millions have believed that Jesus is risen from the dead. And on this Easter Sunday, probably over 1 billion people are gathering because they believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. Yes. The truth eventually won out in the hearts of many people. Now, I have another little question for you. How did Matthew know what transpired behind the scenes in the ruling council and among the soldiers? It could be the Holy Spirit revealed it to him as he was inspired to write this gospel, but I suspect that at least one soldier or at least one member of the Sanhedrin gave their heart to Jesus and reported what actually happened. Oh, the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved even one of them who had initially rejected him. So the question is, what will your response be this morning? You've heard the response of the ruling council. You've heard the response of the soldier. And the question is, what will your response be this morning? Will you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that the tomb is empty because just as he predicted, he would rise from the dead. Just as prophecy predicted hundreds of years before, he rose from the dead. And there are many in this room can testify that Jesus is alive also because he changed my life. He changed my life. Let me share a scripture, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And so we invite you this morning to believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. And he's alive. He's seated at the right hand of God and someday he's coming back. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. On this Easter Sunday, what better day to believe in repentance of sins and to put your faith in Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you that the truth has prevailed, that Jesus Christ is indeed risen from the dead. And I pray, Lord, anyone in this audience this morning who has not yet given their heart to Jesus and trusted Jesus and accepted him as Savior and Lord, that today would be the day where they call upon the name of the Lord and are saved. And Lord, the Scripture says if you confess with your mouth that you believe that he's risen from the dead, you will be saved. And so we pray, Lord, that you will give them courage to confess that publicly during this time of invitation. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our hymn of invitation.